Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm John Wilson. Welcome to These Three, a series in which I talk to artists, musicians, writers, directors, actors, photographers, all sorts of creative people, in fact, about their artistic lives by focusing on three key works, one that they made themselves, that they're particularly proud of, one by somebody else that they wish they'd made, and one that they're working on right now.
Hello. I'm Paul Weller. I'm going to tell you about the song I've written, the song that I wish I'd written, and the song I'm currently working on.
We're in deeper Surrey, in a studio which Paul has owned for a couple of decades, Black Barn Studios, where you've made so many of the records over the last few years. When you first started writing songs, I guess as a kid, because it wasn't far from here, I mean, we're in Surrey, we're near where you grew up in Woking.
Yeah.
Would it have been on a piano or a guitar where you were first kind of hearing music in your head and trying to work out what it meant to you?
Both, to be honest, you know.
Did you have a piano at home?
We had it's a terrible cliche, but it's true, but we had an old piano under our stairs. I don't know where it came from, but anyway.
Were your mum and dad musical? Did they play?
I mean, dad played, but not in any sort of trained way. He only played on all the black notes. Because whatever black notes you play, they always sound all right. You can play any black note and it always sounds good.
Was it a sing-along at home, or was that just for his pleasure?
No, he just used to... he wasn't any way musical in that sense that it was kind of... he was just making up as he went along, right? He was just improvising, baby. He was just...
Was that his approach to management as well? Because, I mean, for those who don't know, he managed you.
That was his approach to life. Just improvise, like we all do indeed. But he'd play sort of boogie-woogies type things on it and rock and roll type things, but... He wouldn't know what he's playing, man. He just used to make a sound with it, but it sounded all right. And I think, whether it's subconsciously or whatever, it was an influence of some sort on me, on my playing probably, on my piano playing, which because I can't really play properly. I just play enough to get by, really, and to write on. And so I suppose there's a bit of that, a bit of me dad in there.
Has the way that you've written songs changed radically over the years, do you think?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, I kind of write in a very traditional methods with just a guitar or piano. I suppose the only thing that is different is that in the last 10 years, I've also tried writing just in the studio as well, just from scratch, not have any ideas and just see what happens. I've done that more in the last 10 years.
But the last album, True Meanings, had more of a traditional feel because it was all performed on, well, acoustic instruments. It was mainly acoustic guitar, piano.
If I had come along, given art a chance, if I'd waited for you in the wandering rain.
Kind of back to basics in a way.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Certainly coming after, like, sort of, you know, Wake Up the Nation or Sonic Kicks and Saturn's Pattern and stuff like that, which are more studio-based records in a sense, you know.
And when you were first writing
tunes. I guess, like with all songwriters, you're just trying to emulate whoever you're listening to. It would have been the Beatles, I guess, wouldn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely. When I was a kid and just first learning to play guitar, me and my friend Steve Brooks, who we both sort of started off playing at the same time, we would always be looking for different chords, new chords. So either one of us would go, I've just discovered this at a minor seventh. Or we heard the Zombies record that had a major seventh in it. And every time we learnt a new chord, we'd write a new song around it.
Around the chord?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great, isn't it? I mean, that's setting the bar higher every time.
Well, it's just kind of like every time your universe gets a little bit bigger and just expands it all the time, you know?
Do you still do that? If you're listening to the radio and you hear a song and there is an interesting chord, do you then try and find where that...
I try and find a song that's got an interesting chord on it these days. That would be the first thing, really. I don't know, not many people use those chords anymore, apart from me.
White horses are taking me home.
We're here in Black Barn Studios, your HQ. Astonishingly, just as we came in here, you pointed out a guitar which is totally broken, beaten up, the whole of the top. Should we just grab hold of it, actually? Here it is, an old Ovation guitar.
Yeah.
And this is the one that you wrote... I mean, you casually said as we went in, you wrote everything in the jam on this guitar.
Well, yeah, from like 79 onwards, probably. Even up until like the early 90s. But as you can see, it's unplayable now. But
so yeah. You haven't smashed that? That's just age?
No, man, it's just age, yeah. It's probably been dropped a few times accidentally. But I keep it as well, so just sentimental reasons, I suppose. And
it's a talisman, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 79, so that's from Setting Suns, sound effects.
Definitely sound effects. I used this guitar on That's Entertainment, in fact.
This very guitar?
This actual guitar.
You would have written, well, if it's 79, so what would you have written?
Wild
Going Under,
yeah, you know, all that stuff.
All the way through?
Yeah, Stole Council stuff as well.
Did it become almost like a lucky charm? You had to use that guitar, or was it the only one that happened to be around?
No, it did kind of become a little bit like that, and I was kind of worried when it was unplayable, I was worried whether I'd still be able to write, but obviously I was.
When did you stop using it then?
I think probably like sort of 93, 4, something like that. So around Wildwood time.
But you would have written Wildwood on this guitar. Yeah. That's an amazing link that goes back from Setting Suns to Wildwood.
Climbing, forever trying, find your way out of the wild, wild wood.
It's not even a great guitar. Well, not anymore, obviously, but it never was. But it was, I think I got it for nothing. That's probably why I used it. A lot of blues thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that actually sounds quite interesting, doesn't it?
Some African thing or something, isn't
it? Yeah. A kora, is it a kora, that instrument? You could use that. Wow, a historic instrument. So I've set you the task, three songs, and we're going to start with the song I wrote, and you have written hundreds, so which would it be?
Probably Aspects, maybe because it's the most recent, but I'm very proud of it, and I think it's as good as anything else I've written, really, for me, personally.
The centrepiece, in a way, of the latest album, of
for
True
me,
Meanings.
It was, yeah.
Was it the starting point for it? Because it was quite an early one.
It was an early one. It wasn't the starting point, though, because I wrote it probably, where are we now? Last year. And I wrote that in the same day I wrote another song on the album called What Would He Say? I remember writing both them two in the same day. But I think it's as good as anything I've done, really, for me, you know.
And what were you thinking about when you wrote the song? Because the album, in a way, is, I mean, it's marking time. It came out as you turned 60.
Yeah.
Was it reflecting age and wisdom and those sort of themes?
I think it reflected all those things, but I think it also reflected my place in the world, I suppose, you know, in my own mind, and taking stock of where I've come from and where I've got to. I think all those things really, to do with my age of reaching 60, which is quite monumental, really.
And the title of the album, True Meanings, that comes from this song. There's a line.
Uh-huh, that's right, yeah.
True Meanings. And yeah. What were you thinking about? What were the images that were in your mind when you were writing the song?
They just came, and I didn't really question them, you know, until afterwards. And then I think it's kind of... I still don't know. I'm still kind of working the song out, and that's what intrigues me and I like about it as well.
That it's never fixed.
You could apply it to a lot of things, really. Existentialist, I suppose, be fair to say it is. I don't know, but that's what intrigues me. And a lot of songs that I've, not just songs that I've written myself, but other songs I love, you can't really pinpoint them always. You know, I've never heard the writers pinpoint the songs and say exactly what they're supposed to mean. It's kind of whatever it means to the person, really.
That's really interesting. That's why songs then have that lifespan, because they change meaning.
Well, yeah, and they change as you go along, really.
Hmm. Show us how Aspects itself would have started. With words, do you think, or possibly chords?
Both.
It's not in the way. It's not in your hair. You won't find it under your chair.
I was thinking when I was writing it, when it came to me, I was thinking it as a kind of, I could hear it as a sort of chanson type thing, really.
Mm.
Kind of European, French sort of thing to it. And it's just got the same sequence, you know, so it's kind of like a folk song in a sense. That's just it, it's just those chords.
All the way through, but it's orchestrated on the record,
of course. It's orchestrated, yeah. And it's got a chorus which goes... Lovely chords. This E runs through the whole chord sequence. This note. Something European about this melody. And it's got six verses, right? But it could have gone on for me. Originally, I was going to make it really, really like a 10-minute job and just have loads and loads of verses, but I didn't. But yeah, I don't know, not one particular singer. I mean, I can't say like Jack Brel or something like that, but just in that sort of style, I suppose, really.
It's always inside you, as old as the sun. It's holding the answer.
When you write a song and you know it's good, does it strike you straight away? Do you think, this is it, I'm onto something?
Yeah.
Is there a kind of a special bell that goes off, you think, stick with this one?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It certainly was in the case of Aspects anyway. And it didn't take long to write. And I find often those sort of songs, the kind of thing you're talking about, they come really quickly. So I would have probably finished it off the same day or by the next day anyway. Yeah, it's kind of almost like they were just given them, really, in a sense. You know, they just kind of sent some from wherever.
How many of the songs, and given that there are hundreds of songs that you've written, how many are you absolutely 100% happy with that you wouldn't change a note of?
Probably about 10.
Really?
Not many, anyway.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It would be a very, very small percentage if I'm really honest. Because there's things I like from the past, but there'll always be a few lines I don't like, or I wouldn't sing now, or I don't agree with. When we were doing the live thing recently with the strings, we did Private Hell, which is an old jam song, which is a great song and a great sort of character study, but it's so harsh. As I was singing it, I was just thinking, how harsh, I would never write this sort of thing now. And it felt odd singing it.
It is an astonishing song, and it was quite interesting watching that show, because the mindset of the songs that you're writing at the moment is, as you say, totally different. But you were, what, 21 years old when you wrote that song?
Yeah.
And it's a character study of a housewife who's really deeply unhappy and sort of floating through the afternoon in a Valium haze.
Yeah.
And you say it's harsh, but I mean, it's kind of, it's recognisable, it's true.
Yeah.
You feel it was, yeah, it was too harsh.
I just
harsh.
Wouldn't write in such a sort of harsh way now. That's the difference, I guess. Or I'd have some... not sympathy, because there is that in the song.
Mm.
I would just use different language anyway, that's all. But that's just the passage of time, no?
Is it hard to re-inhabit those songs? Yeah. I mean, to go back... Because you very rarely do it, I guess, in the live set.
Yeah.
I mean, you still play Town Called Malice and...
When People Behave, yeah.
Special treat.
Yeah. It is hard, yeah, because when I do come up to those lines or a verse I don't like or wouldn't sing normally, or wouldn't sing otherwise, it's hard to switch yourself off from that if you're trying to connect with this song and trying to give it just and do it justice and put it over to people. So if you don't kind of agree with what you're singing, it's really difficult, you know.
And if there are 10 or so that you're really happy with, and it's probably impossible question, it's like choosing the children, is there one that you would say, you know, if people said, what do you do? Who are you? What have you given to this world? Is there one particular song?
Aspects would do.
Right.
I'll go, well, yeah, we'll get on this and have a listen to this and, you know, see if you think it's of any value or not.
But that's amazing that after 4 decades of writing songs and being at the top of your game, that you can still look at a song like that and have that sort of pride in something.
Yeah.
It's still happening. It's still working. Have you ever worried it will stop? Have there been moments, apart from when that guitar stopped working?
There has been a couple of times, but not in the last 20 years, 15 years, no, 15 years probably. There was times when I'd have a writer's block and I would think it's all over and it was all finished.
But as long as the wind blows,
but I don't really get that anymore, and I don't look at it in the same way. And if I don't write for a period of time, for months or whatever, I don't freak out about it anymore, because I know it will come back. If I want it to come back and I'm prepared and open for it, then it will come back and find me, you know.
Today.
And I guess other people's songs are always a source of inspiration. So we move on to the song I Wish I'd Written. Are there many songs that you would do? I mean, do you often hear
hundreds.
A song?
Hundreds, yeah.
So again, this is going to be a hard
really
choice.
Hard to pick, yeah. And I've been thinking long and hard about this as well, because there's new stuff that I really love and there's old stuff, obviously. And if I think of one, I could think of 101, you know.
Well, before you pick the one, what have you heard recently that you think, that's a great song? Actually, the art of songwriting is alive and well.
Well, probably Rex Orange County, right? Do you know that song of his called Loving Is Easy? I can sing you something.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I don't know what the chords are. Loving is easy, you don't have no stuff. Life used to be so hard to be. I'm making the chords up. Loving is easy, everything's burning, even when it's better. Rex, I'm sorry, man, I don't know the chords, but it's a fantastic song anyway. So he's using nice chords in that, right? He's using major sevenths and minor sevenths. But that's as good as anything I've heard.
Really?
Yeah.
So absolutely. If the one song that you wish you'd written, we're going to have to pin you down on this one.
Yep.
What's it going
to
be?
Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know the chords to it. But, yeah, it's really difficult, man, right? But I think I picked Hey Jude, right, by the Beatles, right? It could be any of the Beatles songs, or most of them anyway. But I just thought the simplicity of it, I really love.
Mm.
And just the overall message, really, it's going to be all right. It's okay, you know. You're going to get over this period of time. And I like those sort of songs of faith and encouragement and strength. I've always had been a soft spot for them sort of tunes. And I think probably as human beings, we need that sort of thing as well, encouragement of some kind. But just the simplicity, I mean, sorry, Macca, in advance. Hey, like a gospel, it's a bit gospel-y sound as well. Let her on you. Then you begin to make it better. Just beautiful, I think, you know.
Do you remember the first time you heard that song?
Yeah, 1968 when it came out, man.
Can you remember a moment?
Yeah, I bought it.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. It was the first on Apple. I don't know if it was the first release, but it was amongst the first releases anyway. And it came in a beautiful house bag, shiny black house bag they used to have. But yeah, I bought that at the time, man.
Near here, in Woking?
Yeah.
Was there a particular record shop that you would have gone to save the money up?
There was two. There was one called Airco's, which also had guitars in it. And another one called Maxwell's, which is literally across the road from my house in Stanley Road. So I'd have bought it in there probably.
You've got to know Paul McCartney a bit over the years, I guess. Have you ever talked to him about songwriting?
No. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. But I have been privy to him playing that song on a piano.
Really?
Yeah.
At his place.
He showed me and my wife Hannah his room where him and John used to write upstairs in his house in London.
In Cavendish Avenue.
Yeah. And he played that tune, yeah.
That must have been quite special for you.
Very, very special, yeah. Yeah. That, to me, has got, you know, such a strong melody, and it's not really so much about the chords, it's the melody on top, really. Mm-hmm. I've discovered that in recent years. Because they're dead simple chords, man, but it's just how the melody you put on top of it.
You're still incredibly prolific. I mean, it's an album every... Well, in the old days, people used to put out two albums a year, but, I mean, you're not that far off. It's been one every couple of years.
Yeah. I've been very prolific in the last few years, and I don't know why that is, whether it's because I feel the weight of mortality, trying to do as much as I possibly can, because I see how quickly time goes, and so maybe that's kind of part of it, really. Do you know what I mean? Mm. To try and do as much as I possibly can before I depart this earth. I suppose essentially, you know, I'm just so still in love with what I do, you know, I'm still in love with music, and it's never ending to me. There's always something else to discover in music.
So if the songs are still flowing, the song I'm writing, so there are several on the go at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there one particular one you could tell us about?
Yeah. There is. I don't necessarily know if it's the best one I'm working on, but it's quite an interesting... Started off with this, right? Which is like a B minor, but I'm just playing in an interesting way, that's all, in a different sort of way. Everyone quite easily says why.
vanished all when I went away. I couldn't bend there and there all day. I'm trying to think of clever things to say. I bail. And it goes to a major. Where's it go then? This is like the mid-late bit.
So that's the way when you were writing a song, you're patching words in because those are not finished and they're just sort of fragments.
Well, I have finished them, but I just can't remember them. But yeah, but normally that's just why. Singing la la in, and then occasionally a couple of little words pop up, and then, yeah, they'll just kind of work on that.
How often does a song start totally finished on the page as a set of lyrics?
Very rarely. I mean, like Aspects, going back to that, that was one of those ones. That came very, very quickly. I wrote all the words in one go. But that's kind of rare, really. Probably only like sort of 10% of songs were fully formed, if you like.
Still
Entertainment would be one of those sort of songs.
That you wrote on a page as a poem, almost.
Yeah, really, yeah. But, I mean, it's an extension of lyrics to me, really, I suppose. Or the other way around, I don't know, whichever way it works. But I wouldn't call myself a poet necessarily, I don't know.
There's a poetic aspect to a lot of your lyrics,
yeah,
I think,
I guess,
isn't
so,
there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're still flowing.
Yeah, so am I.
It's amazing, really, isn't it, when you think about it? It's over 40 years.
Yeah, it is, yes.
You couldn't have
time.
Imagined when you started out, I mean, as a kid and with the jam, 18, 19 years old.
Not at all. But my appreciation for what I do just gets bigger and bigger, really, because I just think how amazing to still be doing this and still be playing music after all these years, you know. I'd never, ever dreamt it would come to this, or it would be like this. And I think I'm extremely fortunate to be able to have made a living out of doing something I probably would have done for nothing. Do you know what I mean? And not really having a boss as such, not really having people telling me what to do. So it's a very, very privileged position, I think, from that point of view.
Long may the songs continue to flow.
Yeah.
Paul, thank you so much indeed.
It's a pleasure.
And if you enjoyed Paul Weller, listen out for other episodes featuring the likes of Hayley Atwell, Tom O'Dell, Jonathan Yeo, Lucy Prebble, Kwame Kweama, Guy Garvey, and there are many more on the way. Please do rate and review these three. It helps other people find the series. And subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Also, have a look at the website. We've got more information about all of the guests. There are photographs, videos, previews of forthcoming episodes. We're on Twitter and Instagram, of course. These Three is produced and presented by me, John Wilson, in association with Analog Folk. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.